Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the 8th episode of the Isaiah 58:12 podcast. My name's Harold Weichert, and I'm going to be your host. And Isaiah 58:12 reads, "Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell." Over the past 3 or 4 episodes, we've been taking a look at Leviathan, and I believe that he is the biggest culprit that initiates and performs and commands the breach. And the breach takes on many forms. It looks like many different things. You can look at our society today and see the breach of God's word and God's will and God's principles, where our society is just falling apart. It's coming down around our ears. And folks, that's nothing more than the reflection of a godless society, a society where we have pushed God out to the side and we are no longer interested in hearing or doing what God advises or what God says. So we need to get back to that. And today I want to share some thoughts with you. I've entitled this, "Not I, But You, O Lord." Now, some of you may remember years ago the movie Alfie. And out of the movie came the song, "What's It All About, Alfie?" Well, we can say the same thing about Christianity. What is it all about? There seems to be a recurring theme in today's Christian experience, which centers on what has been called in the past navel-gazing. The promises of God are overwhelming when we think of who we are and who He is. But the focus seems to have become about us and what God has, can, and will do for us. There is an account of this miner that was asked after leaving church one Sunday, what did he believe? And he answered, which is typical of today, I believe what the church believes. He then was consequently asked, well, what does the church believe? To which he answered, the same thing I do. Then it was asked, well, pray tell, what do you and the church believe? To which he answered the same thing. Are we sure of that which we believe? Are we willing to admit that we believe what we believe could be wrong? And are we willing to change our beliefs if we can be proven biblically to be in error? Everybody's heard that saying, well, I was right, man. I was dead right. You know, you can be right and be dead. I'd rather be wrong and alive in Christ. So are you willing to change your belief if they can be proven biblically to be in error? We too often sit and listen to teachings and accept them as gospel, when we should be more like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now, I love my pastor, which I'm sure most of you, or if not all of you, do. And I know he's anointed to preach the word of God. And his sermons bring conviction, challenges to my walk, and they witness to the truth that God has spoken to me in the Spirit. But I know he is a man who struggles with flesh, as we all do. When I check the sermons, it does several things. It reinforces my faith in the pastor, and it reinforces the word in my life by getting me into the word myself, which draws me closer to my Father, and I learn more of him. In other words, I grow. I had someone one time tell me that they didn't have a Bible, nor did they need one, because that's why they had a priest to tell them what's in it. If the Bereans were going to check behind Paul, well, that's good enough example for me. Okay, so what is it all about? Things have been twisted and confused since a time in the garden when Satan said to Eve, "Surely you won't die?" The reason that God created you and me is to know him and enjoy him forever. Let's get this straight right now. We have been taught a doctrine that Christianity is an inclusive religion. First, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with our Maker. And it stopped being inclusive at the first bite of the apple, which we do not have the mental capacity to understand all of the ramifications of that bite. Exodus 20, verse 4 through 5. "You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven or above or on earth, beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." What we did in the garden when we ate the fruit is to make an idol of our own righteousness and our false identity of thinking we can be equal to God. Do we know what it's like to experience the jealousy of God? To be on the visiting side of God's iniquity? No. Now here we go. I hear it now, that God loves everybody and wants all to be saved. I cannot agree with you more. The Father heart of God wants that very thing, without question. This is not the time or place for further discussion on this question because it's not my purpose for this essay. My purpose is to focus us back on the question of what God is calling us to now. All through history, man has been asking, "What is it in for me?" That is the wrong question. Instead of seeking how God can serve us, we need to be seeking how we can serve God. Isaiah 6, 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" In Matthew 6, 33, it says, "Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We are created to serve, not to be served. But Satan has confused it and twisted it. Leviathan. So that we think that God is our servant. The word does not say that we get our reward before serving. We must lay down our righteousness and the kingdom that we have built for ourselves and receive the one God has prepared for us. Our kingdom is the idol that we were warned against in Exodus, and God's grace and mercy is the way we escape the jealousy of God. And that is through Jesus hanging on the cross in our stead. He received the visitation of God's iniquity. Genesis 12:2, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing." God blesses us that we may pass it on. Look at the verse 3. "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So what are we saying here? We first must have a personal relationship with God, seeking to serve him and yielding to his authority in our lives, trusting that he will, in fact, lead us to that land that he promises to show us. From the time Abram left his family and trusted and believed God, he never cared about the provision and his own well-being, but kept focused on God, and God did not fail him. He sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God added all these things unto him. Leviathan, remember, the prince of pride and confusion, is alive and well in the church today. He has us convinced that it is about getting rewards from God. God fixing whatever is broken in our lives and that which is making us uncomfortable. We have been convinced that it is about my comfort. Here is what we must understand. Salvation is free of any cost to you and me. Jesus paid the price for us. But the rest comes at a cost. There is not one character in the Bible that followed Jesus or obeyed God that had it easy. Jesus says in Luke 14:33, "So then, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions." If God would ask you to give up your car so another would have a car, would you? If God would ask you to empty out your bank account and give to one who is in need, would you do it? If God would ask you to sign the deed to your house to another, would you do it? Say what? Oh, these things are ridiculous? And God would not ask me to do this? Well, he asked the disciples to drop their nets and leave everything. They could not even go home to bury their dead or say goodbye to their families. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." In this harsh and radical, you bet it is. Here is a challenge that Jesus puts forth to our love for him. In Luke 14:26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, how radical is that? Here we see the depth of contrast between those that we love and are the dearest to us in this world, and the depth of love we're called to have for our Lord. God does not call us to hate anyone, but he is here showing us the contrast in the intensity of the love and commitment we should have to him compared to others. If you are out fishing with your child and their friend, and the friend does not know Jesus, and they both fall in and are drowning, and you only have time to save just one, who would you save? Would you save the friend to give them a chance to be saved, knowing that your child is already saved and will be with Jesus? Or would you save your child and let the friend die and go to eternal damnation? Come on, Harold, that's not fair. Yeah, I know it's not fair. But it's not fair that my sins nailed Jesus to the cross, because I created a debt that I couldn't pay. It's not fair that he had to pay a debt that he didn't owe, but he did it for you and me. Now look, brothers and sisters, we have to get our thinking right. It's not about us. It's about God and us serving him. We have to move from the concern of our own economy and comfort to our obedience to the call of God. God can use us just as we are, but our effectiveness goes up as we become more whole in the surrender to God's healing touch in our lives. The time is growing short, and the darkness is getting darker, and the fields are ripe for the harvest, but the workers are few. Because we're looking to ourselves, taking pride in what God has done for us, and ignoring the call to the obedience of being citizens in the kingdom. It has been said that you should always leave them laughing. Well, I don't have a, excuse me. I don't have a joke for you right now. And this word has been a heavy one. So let me leave you with some good news. Mark 10, 29 and 30. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children and farms for my sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms." Now listen, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. If you hear or feel that knocking on the door of your heart, I guess that would be Jesus inviting you to drop your nets and follow him. Are you ready? God bless you.